Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday night, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're so glad you're here, and we've been working this month on the Book of Signs by Dr. David Jeremiah. And so as we have studied this book, we've talked about materialism. We've talked about immorality. We've talked about radical Islam. We've had lots of conversations from Dr. Jeremiah's perspective. And we've had some contrary statements that don't quite agree with him as well. But that's why we're here. The Bible tells us to come and let us reason together. So as we go through the study, as we do every Tuesday, we'd like to invite you to join us, first of all, with prayer, and then we'll have a song. After that song, we'll have a scripture read. The scripture we'll be reading tonight, put your phones on mute, but the scripture we'll be reading tonight is 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 19. And before we get started, we ask that everybody in the study would please put your phones on mute until we get ready to start the dialogue. Thank you. Please put your phones on mute. Here is our prayer. God, we thank you so much as we come before you. We want to magnify your name and glorify you tonight as we do every day. Be with us, O God. Help us to see and to be all that you would have us do and be. Change our lives. Have us to be more patient, more empathetic, more caring. Help us to understand the things that we really don't fully understand. And then when all that is said and done, we want to be close to you. Help us to be close. Help us to walk with you. Help us to not do anything, oh God, unless we consult you so that we know that we are truly in your will. So as we go through this study tonight, Lord, we're asking for revelation knowledge. As we go through this study tonight, Lord, we're asking to have a closer walk with thee. As we go through this study tonight, Lord, we thank you. We praise you for that intimate time that you hold us, you teach us, we glean from what you have us to learn. But most of all, we experience koinonia, that fellowship among one another, and the love of you. We thank you. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thing to do. I'm so afraid.
afraid of disappointing you. Oh, I need to talk to you and ask you for your guidance, especially today when my life is so cloudy. Guide me until I'm sure I'll
Peter 4, starting at the first verse. Is there anything, anyone who would like to read? If not, I will read it.
This is Margaret. I can read it.
Okay. All right. What version are you going to read from, Margaret?
NIV.
Okay.
First
and
Peter.
I can do that. You want to do it.
All right, thank
chapter
you.
4, verses 1 through 19. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one without another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name, for it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. We're going to have a reading, King James as well.
Okay. This is Shirley. I'll be reading 1 Peter, 4th chapter, 1 through 19, King James. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live, that he shall no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, rivalries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that we do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the reason the gospel was preached also to those who died, those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but living according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayer, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracle of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Be rejoiced to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as murderers, a thief, an evildoer, or as busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him and doing good as to a faithful creator. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen, amen. And at this time, it is time for us to move into our intercessory prayer. Is there, Dr. Nux, you're here. Do you mind doing an intercessory prayer tonight? Are you feeling like it?
I would rather be prayed for myself tonight. That's all right with you, Dr.
That's fine. That's fine. Does anyone else like to give leadership to the bishop? Would you like to do the intercessory prayer, Shirley?
Yeah. I'll do that. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay.
This is Dr.
Are there any clear requests? Okay.
This is Dr. Susie,
Dr. Susie.
I would I'm asking for a prayer regarding job opportunities and God's will for my life in that area.
Okay.
I'm also asking for health for my family and myself.
Okay.
This is around the time in which I lost.
Okay.
This is around the time I lost my daughter, so I'm asking for prayers for that, our family, is regarding our loss. So thank you.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Is there anybody else?
This is Shirley. I'd like to thank, first of all, I want to give honor to God and thank him for his grace and his mercy, and to also keep family in prayer. And I don't know if Eric is on the line or not, but also to keep his uncle in prayer.
And that was Uncle, I forgot
Butch.
His name.
Uncle Butch.
Okay.
Yeah, and he had started to decline, And so asking for, but Uncle Butch had expressed that he had a relationship with God. So we are praising God for that.
Amen.
And we are just asking for coverings for the family and strength for whatever Uncle Butch may have to go through. And we're asking that God would be merciful, as you said, surely and gracious, because God always looks out for his own. So.
And Uncle Butch has decided to not go through any more chemos or anything. He's decided to not do any more tests or anything like that. He had blood transfusion today, and the CAT scan didn't come back good, so they offered him two experimental, things that he could do, and he decided he didn't want to do any of it.
Okay. Amen.
Is there anyone else?
This is James. Has continual prayer for my daughter who lost her husband and their family. But also I ask for prayer for myself. Have some tests next Monday, and then evaluation meeting with the doctors on Wednesday. Kind of follow and find out sort of where we go from here. But just pray for my healing and strength and direction.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Is there anyone else?
This is Margaret, and I want to praise God today and thank him for delivering my mother from what looked like a very bad upper respiratory infection, which turned out not to be COVID. So I'm immunized. So I'm grateful to God that she's doing much better now. And I just pray for the family, our family, your families, people who will be traveling to be together in the next few days, and just praying for the Lord to bless the families out there near and far, and just begging the Lord to have mercy upon them and not to let the rates get too bad with the COVID.
Amen.
Protect people, help them to behave in a responsible way, in a loving way. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, if there's not anybody else, we're going to go. Okay.
Pray for our country.
James.
Just pray for our country.
Yes, sir.
So much division, so much hatred. It's mind-boggling. Certainly need Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit to flow through, and we need revival, serious revival.
Amen.
Right there.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is Brett.
Okay, Brett.
Yeah, I just want to praise God for bringing me through upper respiratory infection I had that. Wasn't sure where I got it from or what was going on, but I've been through the worst of it and come out on the other side. And I got an appointment with VA next Friday, not this week, but next Friday, to have laser surgery on my right eye. So I need prayer for that. Bring me through like he did the other eye. So. I just want to thank God for everything that he's done for me and that he's touched people in my life, that they're still here for another Thanksgiving coming up.
Okay. This is Dr. Susie again. I would like to ask for prayer for the church. You know, and I'm mentioning some things about the church, but that God would bless us. I want to lift up Brother Mateo well. And ask that Jerry's on the line, that you would bless Jerry and my sister Lori, and that
all right,
all would be well. You know, I'm gonna have to spend, I miss talking to them. I gotta spend more time with them. But we're at a place in the Bible study where people are calling and people have a desire to participate. I just hope that we will continue to recognize that people are really listening to what we say. And they do
Amen.
Call in, and not often, but they send emails sometimes. And I just want you to know that people are paying attention. I did want to also ask you to think about something. Spirit Alive Network has invited us to come, and they would like, they have an outreach that's to more countries, and their countries are asking for Bible study. And she knew I was busy, but she said if we could just do it on the first and third Wednesday instead of every Wednesday, the first and third Wednesday of the month, if we would be open to taking the good news out to other parts of the world. So I'd like you to pray about that so that we can, you know, make a decision of if we want to be a part of that evangelism outreach.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we glorify you. We bless you. We honor you. We worship you. We adore you. We give you the praise for this day and this opportunity to share your word, to share your message with people from all around the world. We take time to humble ourselves and remove anything that is in us that is not like you to try to hinder the word and the ministry from going forth. We ask, Father God, that you would give us clarity of our mind, clarity of our spirit, attentive ears to hear you speak to us as we speak to your people. Use each and every one of us on this panel. Give us a rhema word. Give us a right now word. Give us revelation knowledge as we go forth in this ministry on tonight. We lift up Dr. Susie and thank you for giving her favor for job opportunities that will come and God's will according to which job that she will take. We pray for the health of her family. And even in this time of loss and memory, Father God, let there be joy out of the sadness. Help the whole family to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lord, we lift up Jerry and Lori, that you would be with them where they are. You know exactly where they are in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for the praise report for Shirley, and keeping the family in prayer in the name of Jesus. And we pray for Eric's uncle, Butch. And we give God praise even in this time that's very difficult time. So God, we ask that you would cover this family right now and give them strength, God, and help us to respect Uncle Butch's decision. Father, this is a rough time. It's a hard time. But Lord, your word tells us that you are a man that was acquainted with grief. You knew grief. You knew that we would go through grief, Lord. You knew that we would go through the stages of grief. And Father,
yes,
I believe,
Lord,
every one of us, at some time on this journey of life, that we have been grieving, are grieving, will grieve, and will grieve again. But you said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Yes, Lord.
So
yes.
Send the Paracletus. Send the Holy Ghost to comfort us in our time of loss, in our time of memory of loss, in our time of hurting, and even in the time of despair. Lord, you promised that there will be joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning, and we thank you that joy is on the way. And for some of us, the joy is here right now. We give you glory.
Thank you, Lord.
We give you praise.
We give you honor.
Glory,
God.
We bless you.
We give you honor. Hallelujah.
And lift you up.
Thank
Lord,
you.
We lift
thank
up
you,
Margaret,
Lord.
And we thank you for the praise report from Margaret's mother, Father God.
Yes,
and,
Lord.
And
thank
the heart that Margaret has for the families across this nation.
Thank
Lord,
you, Lord,
remove dysfunction, remove hatred, remove bitterness, remove
hallelujah,
Father God. Lord,
yes,
you're
Lord,
able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can ask or think. And
anything,
God, not only are you
hallelujah,
able, but you're willing, Father.
Thank
God,
you.
Bless
Lord,
you and honor you. Lord, we come against COVID, this scourge upon our nation,
yes,
this
Lord,
this plague
yes,
upon
Lord,
our nation. We pray that you would turn
yes,
us
Lord,
away, Father God.
Yes,
in the name
thank
of Jesus,
you,
where two on earth agree is touching any one thing, it shall be done of our Father, which is in heaven.
Yes,
we've got more than
thank
two
you,
or three on
thank
this line,
you,
and there's
my
more
Lord,
than two or
Lord,
three that are listening in the audience, Father God. And so
yes,
we
Lord,
have the prayer of agreement, and we declare and decree that this country, this
hallelujah,
world, is free of COVID
yes,
in the
thank
name
you,
of Jesus.
Praise
we command
you,
the principality to come down right now.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
All
thank you,
tormenting disease, you have
yes,
no authority
Lord,
here. You have had enough, and we expel you. We serve you your eviction notice in
thank
the mighty
God,
name of Jesus.
Thank
Father,
you,
God,
thank
we thank you,
you
for this nation, Father God.
Yes,
we
yes,
ask for revival, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
An unrivaled revival. A revival such as the day of Pentecost, Father God, that the Spirit of the living God would come in
yes,
such a way that
yes,
everybody
Lord,
will know the difference, that there's
yes,
something
Lord,
different about you, that the glory of God will rest on every believer, Father God. We give you glory.
Yes,
we give you praise. We honor you. We worship you. We adore you. We
hallelujah,
thank you, Lord, that it is done. We thank you that it is done. We thank you that you're doing it right now, Father God. Lord,
yes,
right
Lord,
we
now,
thank
Lord,
you for the praise report for breath
yes,
and
Lord,
the healing for
my
the
Lord,
upper respiratory
yes,
disease.
Thank
Lord,
you, God.
And Father God,
thank
we
you,
thank
Lord,
you for guiding the hand of the surgeon on his left eye, and we declare and decree that this eye
yes,
will be made restored
yes,
better than it was when we first started having the problem, Father
thank
God.
You, Lord.
Thank
and Lord,
you,
we pray for our listeners. God,
yes,
yes,
Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we pray
my
for our
Lord,
listeners that are listening to this right now.
Yes.
Bless
yes,
them, Father God. Some of us are listening and they're despondent. They're hopeless,
yes,
especially around this time of the year, God.
Yes, Lord.
But
yes,
give
Lord,
them double for their trouble. Give them stars for their scars, Father God. Lord,
thank
give
you, Lord,
them hope in their hopelessness, Father God.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's death in the family, God, raise and resurrect. We call resurrection power alive.
Yes, Lord.
In the
yes,
name
Lord,
of Jesus.
Yes.
For that person,
yes,
that
hallelujah,
mother that's lost their child. We pray for that father that's lost the wife. We pray for families to be made whole and restored. We pray
my
for
Lord,
our
yes, Lord.
Mm.
Yes,
mm.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
We pray for finances, God.
Yes.
Yes.
We pray for the finances, God. Those that are struggling, Lord, make it easy
yes,
for
Lord,
them again,
Jesus.
Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
and
you,
Lord,
Lord,
as a team, help us to come
yes,
together as a team to look at the opportunity
my
for
Lord,
us to share your word.
Yes,
yes
Lord.
With countries that are listening.
Yes.
Yes,
Lord, you promised that you would give us a harvest of souls.
Yes, yes, Lord.
So,
thank
Lord,
you,
we receive the promise. And, Father God, whatever it is that you want us to do, Lord, help us to agree to do it in the name of Jesus. Now be
yes,
with
Lord,
us as we expound upon this word, expound upon
my
this
Lord,
lesson. Holy Spirit, take your reign and take your rightful place.
Yes,
in
Lord,
this place, God. In the name of Jesus,
my Lord,
we pray. Thank you, Lord God. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank
praise
you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
You've been so good, Lord. I just want to
thank
praise you because you've been so good. Thank
yes,
you, Lord.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
mm.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
The light at the end of the tunnel. Yes,
mm.
Yes,
Lord. Yes. Oh, my.
There's something about the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
I just
Lord,
want to play this song. It's just on my heart.
is because of who you are by. I just got to say, because of who you are.
I worship you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Because of who you are, I give.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Give your glory, God. Hallelujah.
Because of who you are. Because
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
I need
it back.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to take a moment and get roll call when you're ready.
Shirley in Maryland.
Brett from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Mitch and Michael from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Jerry from Maine.
Brother Carter from Dana Hall.
Margaret
this is
James
from Columbus.
Margaret from Florida and James from Columbus. Amen. Amen. And this is Dr. Susie from Indianapolis. Just want to say thank you tonight for all of us who have chosen to serve the Lord one more time.
Amen.
We got to remember that this is our service to the Lord.
Amen.
And we just want to celebrate and thank the Lord for it, because we didn't have to be alive and well to testify today.
Amen.
He could have called
and
us
amen.
Home. But we're so grateful to be able to have the opportunity to tell him we love him one more time. And so I celebrate that we can come to the Lord, and we can do so in prayer, and we can do so with rejoicing and thanksgiving and honoring him and lifting up our hands and glorifying him, because that is what it means to worship God. It's an active transaction. And we are in the throne room even now. And so as we go forward, I just want to just thank the Lord constantly for the revelation knowledge that we'll continue to have. As we go back, I want to read once more. The text for tonight is 1 Peter 4, 1 through 2. And as I read, I really want you to pay attention, because the question I'm asking is what jumps out at you. Tonight we're talking about persecution. So listen to the text, and each of us, I'm going to ask, what in the text jumped out at you? And while you're doing it, you can think of your definition of persecution. So here we go. I'm reading through the message. Since Jesus went through everything you're going through and more, learn to think like him. Think of your suffering as a weaning from that old sinful habit of always expecting to get your own way. Then you'll be able to live out your days free to pursue what God wants instead of being tyrannized. Have mercy. By what you want. You've already put in your time in that God-ignorant way of life, partying night after night, a drunken and proliferate life. Now it's time to be done with it for good. Of course, your old friends don't understand why you don't join in with the old gang anymore, but you don't have to give an account to them. They're the ones who will be called on the carpet and before God, God's self. Listen to the message. It was preached to those believers who are now dead, and yet even though they died, just as all people must, they will still get in on the life that God has given in Jesus. Everything in the world is about to be wrapped up. Hallelujah. So take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other as your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. So be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless, cheerfully. Be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around so all get in on it. If words, let it be God's words
his help, let it be God's hearty help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Christ Jesus. He'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything. In course to the end of time. Oh, yes. Friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that, where'd it go? Don't jump to the conclusion. It went to the message. Oh, wow. There it is. Don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. If you're abused because of Christ, count yourself fortunate. It's the Spirit of God and His glory in you that brought you to the notice of others. Hallelujah. If they're on you because you broke the law or disturbed the peace, that's a different matter. But if it's because, hallelujah, you are Christian, don't give it a second thought. Be proud of the distinguished status reflected in that name. It is judgment time for God's own family. We're first in line. If it starts with us, think what it's going to be like for those who refuse God's message. If good people barely make it, what's in store for the bad? So if you find life difficult because you're doing what God said, take it in stride. Trust Him. He knows what God is doing. God knows what God's doing. And God will keep on doing it. Amen. 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 So, the question is your definition of persecution and what jumped out at you as you heard the word of God? What jumped out at you? Yes.
Yes. Well, he starts out telling you, you better get off the fence. Make a decision. And then he goes on to tell you what happens if you're following God. And he tells you what's going to happen if you don't follow God.
So that jumped out at you and made you. And what was it saying about you to you? What was it speaking to you about, Brett? It's telling you not to be on the fence?
Tell me not to be on the fence.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Because it tells a person exactly what's going to happen.
Amen.
If you're a Christian, be a Christian. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. So what's your definition of persecution? Think about that. Your definition of persecution. So who's next? Who would like to come behind Brett and share what jumped out at them?
This is Sherilyn.
Yes, ma'am. We miss you.
It brings to mind to me Christ dying on the cross for our sins in the flesh. The fact that he died for us. And
amen.
That speaks volumes. And for him to say, God forgive them for they know not what they do. And that was the flesh part of it. For me, it makes me think in my spirit that you don't have to be, because you may lose people in your faith because they don't believe along the same lines that you believe along, okay? And they don't have the same ideas that you had, okay? And some people may, persecute you for the things that you think, the things that you say. But my thing is, I have a God who died for me.
Come on.
Who took all
Come
my
on.
Sins. Who took all my sins.
Hallelujah.
And
Hallelujah.
He was there when
Glory
I,
to God.
And he has somebody, there is somebody for me to fall on my knees and praise and thank him for every day that he gives me and
Amen.
The help that he gives. If I am down,
Come on.
I don't feel alone because I know he's there.
Yes. Yes.
And Houston to me is harassing and, you know, oppression and killing people, you know.
Yes.
That's persecution. But those are things that are good. The good Lord asks us, you know, because we get persecuted and so forth, we know there is a Heavenly Father that is there for us to greet us once we leave this earthly body, once we're gone.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We know he is there to greet us with open arms. All he asks
Thank
is that
Lord.
We make him our Lord and Savior, and that's what I do in my life.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What a wonderful testimony. You both have just blessed my heart tonight. Who else would like to talk about what jumped out at them? We're going to ask everybody to participate.
Michael.
Yes.
This is Bishop Michael, and what jumps out to me is what I call the sailor verse about in your times past you were guilty of certain sins, evil desires and drunkenness. And what that says to me, and he talks in the past tense, is that you know it's not really anything of any substance or value back there. That was what your past is. It didn't amount to anything but hangovers, bad breath. You know, bad reputation, bad mistakes. You
Amen.
Know,
Amen.
You know, that's you know, and one's a sailor, always a sailor. I'm a sailor, you know, but you know, there's things
Amen.
That I don't boast in that. It's just that what Amen. I don't boast in that, but I remember because it was in the Navy where I did become born again, and it was like you know, we can sit over there and have memories, but you know what? There was a reason he took us out of that. That's what it's supposed
Amen.
To be. There's nothing there that I am missing. There's nothing back there that did me any good in that state. And the persecution, when I think about it personally, is, you know, because of my faith. And I love that scripture where he says, if you get persecuted because you are a Christian, hey, that's a badge of honor.
Hallelujah.
That's
Hallelujah.
One of the highest honors. Because they don't like you because you're Christian. How many of us on this line, how many of us in the studio or in the audience have had that? They found out you're a Christian and they're like, you quit smoking because you had a heart attack. They applaud you. Quit smoking because you're a Christian. That's when you're yes. That's when it starts. So persecution comes subtly at first, and then it comes full on. But we're encouraged, you know. Look that, wear that as a badge of honor. That's what jumped out to me.
Amen.
What is that song that says, "When I look back over my life and I think things over"? I can truly say
Come on.
That I believe have a testimony. Amen.
I got a testimony. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm ready to play that one now, Miss Shirley. Woo! The Holy Spirit is
okay.
high tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Who would like to go next? Brother James.
This is James. So many things jump out at me regarding that text. But when I read a text, I like to think about what have I done, not about what others have done to me so much, but who have I persecuted? And I think many of us have been guilty of persecuting others. They didn't believe as we did. And persecution, you know, I think is harsh. I would call unfair treatment. It comes about because of somebody did something or they were perceived is doing something. Sometimes it's fair and sometimes it's not. Persecution for God, because of standing for God, is different than persecution for things that we do wrong. And we do a lot of things wrong. And some persecution we receive, we probably deserve.
Wow.
But I think Christians oftentimes persecute other people. And I think sometimes we look down on others and we are condemning. And people feel that. And I think that's why many of our churches are emptying out now. I think we need to look at ourselves when I think of this text. And what kind of life should I be living, and what kind of connection should I have with God to even be in a position of being persecuted for God? And I think a lot of us don't take that extra step. And sometimes we feel that being persecuted for God is what we get as a result of being in a church and following churchy rules. And sometimes standing for God is even, I think, standing against our churchy existence and standing for what is right. And sometimes that's hard for us to see. So to me, this says I need to take a look at me and really see what kind of a person am I before God, and am I growing? Am I pursuing God? And not just, I see this thing about, drunkenness and whatnot, but some of the worst offenses I find are not being drunk or cussing and fighting, but people are just mean. They don't have to go into the bars.
Amen.
They don't have to be taking drugs. They don't have to do any of that. They're just mean. And they can be mean at home. They can be mean in the church. They think they're better than other people. I mean, we have a real problem. That's why I always pray for revival and revival in the church, because the church is sick. I mean, not God's church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against
Amen.
It. But
Amen.
The church, we're fighting each other. I mean, we got people that don't even understand what right is anymore. And how does the world perceive us? I mean, and then many of us are so judgy, judgmental against other people, condescending and talking to people. Like, we are so holy and righteous, and we are some of the meanest people in the world. And, we need to do something about working on ourselves, working on our personal lives, really seeking God and seeking understanding. Because a lot of this
Amen.
Stuff is just crazy. It's just crazy. And people don't even want to go to church anymore. And I'm really concerned about that. I'm really concerned about how the church is acting and how we're treating each other, and how we perceive ourselves and how we think we're better than people somehow. So it says a lot to me. And of course, Christ dying for us, and suffering for us. I mean, if we are truly, truly suffering for Christ's sake, for God's sake, yes, that's different. And I think we feel that differently. But many of us don't even know if we're really suffering for Christ's sake or God's sake. I mean, understanding what Christ did for us gives us strength, to be able to endure when we are really suffering because of what we're doing for God's sake. I'm always, moved by what Christ has done for me. But I need to understand
Amen.
That what I'm doing is pleasing to God.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Dr. Susie, this is Britt. This is Britt. I want to say one thing. I understand where the brother's coming from, but I want to remind everybody that what we consider church, it's confined to four walls with a roof and a floor. But when you look at Jesus Christ, where was Jesus Christ's his church? On the mountainside, without walls. The church is a gathering of people. We confine ourselves to a building, but keep in mind that everybody that comes is not a saved person. They're not a Christian. They're there to try and learn about what Christianity is. But you have to have leaders that are leading people to Christ. And you can't straddle the fence if you are a leader. That's where the problem is today. But it's not just the church. It starts in the family. Families don't pull together anymore. They don't have... Go ahead.
No, I was just recording what you were saying. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but I'm getting ready to get on the roll, so I need to quit.
Yeah, I was just supporting what... I was just supporting what you were saying, but that takes us back to what James was saying when he said we need revival. Revival
Amen.
Is a renewing, is a changing of our heart and transforming of our minds so that we can become more like the Lord. And
Amen.
The
Thank
judgmentalness,
you.
The hypocrisy, whether it's in the four walls or out, revival needs to happen. We need to change, and the scripture clearly says to us,
there
wake up. Mm-hmm. The world is about to be wrapped up. Wake up. Don't take this for granted. And most times we are taking it for granted. And we're not recognizing how important love is. Love is the key. Love is the koinonia, the foundation in which
Come
we
on.
Have our relationship
Amen.
With one another and with God.
Amen.
Wake up.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. This is Margaret, and I just guess the last verse, 19, wraps it up. So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right. And trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I can't wait till my turn comes. Come on, Jerry. We hear you.
Come on.
Well, I was just
Come
going
on, Jerry.
To say, hello, it's Jerry. I was just going to say the 19th verse that she was just talking about seems
Oops,
to stand
I beat you to it.
For me. It says if you're suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to God who created you because he'll never fail you. I just absolutely love that. I've been looking at it several times, and I just think that verse just says, like you said, it says it all, and I would rather please God than please the world. And when it comes to
Amen.
Persecution, I guess I've been lucky in a sense that it hasn't been, for me personally, too bad a persecution. One of the things that I think a lot about is my immediate family. My immediate family knows how I feel. They feel a little bit different. I've been trying to get all of them saved and to let them know about God and what God can do in their lives. But unfortunately, God hasn't seemed to let them come to him yet, or the devil's fighting, neither one. But they've always kind of looked at me as, oh, well, he's the religious crazy dad. And whenever we have Thanksgiving or any kind of prayer, it's always, well, Dad, you go ahead and say the prayer because none of us really know anything about it. So I've always been sort of, again, well, this is your thing, Dad. And whenever there's any religious thing that I bring up or I show them a verse, and it's sort of like I'm the one that they kind of sit on when it comes to my older sons.
my exes and some of my, you know, that immediate family, my larger family are all Christians, and we all kind of feel the same way. But my family here in Maine, my sons and stuff, just kind of give me a little bit of a hard time again. They don't give me a hard time. They just, well, they kind of laugh at me. Well, that's what you believe, Dad. And we know how you are, Dad. We know what you believe. And I know you don't believe this. And, Dad, you don't like it when I say I went out and got drunk and things like that. So I guess in their own way, they were persecuting me because of what my religion is, and they were doing it in a loving way. And I did know that they meant it in a loving way, but deep down, sometimes I just wish that they would wake up, and instead of saying, well, I don't, Dad, I know you don't like that, that they would realize that what I'm saying is something and it means something, that they should look at it another way. And I guess that's what this, this whole thing that I've been thinking about, really comes and jumps out at me at.
All right.
Well, this is Dr. Susie. Part of the definition of persecution is harassment. And,
yeah.
Jerry, what you describe is a form of harassment, you know, harassing you because, and they may not have been unkind with it, but they were still a sense of harassing. And people that we love will harass us, you know.
Sure.
So.
Right.
We just trust them, and we, you know that we're going to continue to do what we do for the Lord so that maybe in our example, it might help them to wake up and be ready when time comes.
Amen.
Amen.
Also,
amen.
Also, you know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus prophesied that his followers would be attacked. In John 15:20, remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also.
Amen.
Christ
Amen.
Also promised that reward to those who endure persecution. So, you know, we are always reminded that Jesus stands with us through all trials that we go through. All trials, not some, but all trials that we go through. It may not seem like it to some, but it is.
All right.
Because we make it through. If we look back over our life and we see where we have come this far, who has helped us along the way? Those footsteps that they see in the back of them and nobody's there, that's because God has you.
Amen.
Dr. Amen.
Susie, this is Brett. You started out saying that since Jesus went through everything you're going through and more, learn to think like him. Right there it says it all. Jesus went through more stuff than we're ever going to go through.
Yes.
And anytime you do away with the old things that made you popular and everything else, I don't care if you outdrank somebody else and all that stuff. Hey, once you make that change, people don't understand because they want you to be like them. They don't want you to change. They don't want to see you happy. Oh, please. And if you're a woman and you got a good man, I'm talking about a guy, a man that knows God and is living the life that God wants them to live, and he's being blessed, and he's blessing your life, and you've been out here with what you thought was a night, but it was a guy playing around in tinfoil and got caught up and couldn't get out. I mean, come on. You know, when God sends you the right person, hey, nothing is going to stop God from doing what God wants to do.
Right. You know, the old saying is misery loves company. You know that, right?
Yeah. But, you know, I can say the opposite of what Jerry just said, because a lot of times I don't let anybody know that I'm even a minister when I'm trying to date somebody. Because once they know you're a minister, they change their attitude. They change their way of thought. They don't look at a guy being desirable that is a Christian. As long as they don't know, they're fine. But as soon as they find out that you go to church or that you believe in God,
hey, everything changes. I'm done.
Brett, that means they wasn't meant to be in your life if they go like that, go so quick like that.
Oh,
amen.
I know. That's why I have 15 questions that I qualify a woman. I know everything I need to know in 15 questions.
Shame on you for this and not letting the Lord work through that. You already made determination. But anyway, this is Dr. Susie.
How do you know that God didn't give me those 15 questions?
I am not getting into that debate. We'll have to save that one for another day.
Praise God.
But,
all right.
You know, all right. I got you, brother. One of the things that jumped out of me, and this was really, really, really important, is I just got through having the Bible study pray for a challenge that I was having on my job. And the main problem came partially after I studied, after they came to me and asked for Bible study. The worst part occurred after they started praying the believer's prayer. When it got even worse, it's when they started praying to be rededicated. That's what did it. And thank you, Jesus. I started listening scripture when it said that the scripture just said, the one down there, I'm going to say it two or three times. If you're abused because of Christ.
All right.
And just a little bit up above there says, be glad that you're in the thick of what Christ experienced. Lord have mercy, because I was like, Lord, I ain't want to be in the middle of this. I'm tired of having this fight and this battle. But what you forget in the midst of the battle is the scripture says this is a spiritual refining process. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
So I was being seized and strengthened and going through the fire so that I would look more like the Lord that I served. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God just around the corner. Being abused because of Christ. I should have been able to say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm serving as a witness for you. The Spirit of the God is in my life. The Spirit of God is singing around these people's lives, so they're celebrating and praising you and glorifying you. In the midst of, we have people around us that were talking loud, laughing, trying to disturb the Bible study. It wasn't nothing but the enemy.
That's
nothing
exactly
but the
right.
Enemy.
Amen.
And right
Amen.
Here, exactly right here.
That's exactly right.
We broke the devil's intention. We
and
stood
Dr.
for the
Susie,
Lord.
You knew you were doing right for the Lord. You knew
I
you
know.
Were doing
Amen.
His call and his bidding.
I know.
And Dr. Susie.
But it is so
I
hard.
I need to say something here. Isn't it interesting the timing that the people got loud and got obstinate?
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting that they became recalcitrant at the time? I mean, it is that place where y'all were having Bible study. It was never that loud until you all started having it. And I don't even have to be there to know that that's what happened. Isn't it interesting? So if they can discourage or disturb or upset, and we know what
they're
working through there.
Right.
That's right, Bishop. But let me tell you what related to that. The people, the veterans, are so strong. They started growing. They got up and they said they went, now look, y'all ain't never acted like
All
this
right.
before. We come back in here trying to have Bible study, and y'all going to get loud
come
and
on.
Rambunctious being disturbing. Yes, they did. And that's when folks
Amen.
Got upset with me. Come on.
Yeah.
All right.
Pastor Susie, if you remember.
Speak, Lord.
That's right.
Pastor Susie,
that's it.
If you remember at Tonga, they used to do that too to us. we would have Bible study, and it seemed like everybody would come into that room where we had had Bible study at different times, but yet when we didn't have Bible study, that area always seemed to be pretty quiet. And then every time we'd have Bible
study. Nobody would be in there.
Nobody would be in there.
You're exactly right, Jerry. You're exactly right.
When I was in the Navy, I was reading the scripture. It was in the plan of the day. So I've read it, and one of my shipmates began to cuss at me. Now, I was brand new. I was brand new, saved. So, you know, a lot of that stuff that I did, I ain't forgot it. So he decided to start cussing. Well, I joined him. You know, because I like, punk, I will hurt you. I joined him. And our boss told him to shut up, and he said, you don't ever, ever come against another man's faith. I had backup, but at the same time, I had the persecution because, first of all, they was mad because I wasn't the party animal that I used to be.
All right.
I wasn't that.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I wasn't cool no more. You know.
Yeah.
And he decides he's going to cuss at me in formation, what we call quarters in the Navy. He's going to cuss at me. And, you know, I got in the flesh. I'll admit it. I got in the flesh. And I was going to take him out right there. And that's when the boss stepped in and said, no. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Like, I was ready to break.
Right then,
but the reason this guy stepped in. Yeah. The reason this guy interrupted me, because, you know, there was a change that was happening in my life, and my shipmate saw it. Now, here's the phrase of all of that. Seven of my shipmates got born again and are yet. Now, we're talking about almost 40 years ago. They still saved. We're talking about 40 years.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on, God's good.
A revival broke out on the ship. Okay?
Come on.
So that's why we get that opposition. That's why we get the persecution. They're trying to stop something from going on. They're trying to stop what God has already ordained that would happen.
Right.
Some of us had a church history, but we had praying grandmothers, praying aunties, praying daddies, that, you know, people that we used to go to church with, that, you know, they knew that we was out there, and they knew the lifestyle of the military. They knew where we would be going. They was praying for our protection, and God answered the prayer. He activated something on that ship. And just like, who was it? Was it Brett or Jerry that wanted to pray for this nation? I was getting ready to say, that was what I was writing down when he said it. He said, we need to pray for this nation. I was writing that down.
Amen.
That
James
said
and Margaret.
We needed a revival.
That was Jerry. James.
Well, who else?
James.
It was James.
It was James.
When he said it, and Margaret said it too, I was writing that down.
Yeah,
I'm like, look at the
family.
Holy Ghost. Look at the Holy Ghost. We need revival. And a revival is not a meeting, you know, where this guy did a revivalist is coming for 3 weeks and, you know, bring your family and all. That's a meeting. A revival is a change of life.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This is the course of society.
Amen.
Yeah, we ain't got to be mean and obstinate and all nasty with folks because, Lord, like my brother was saying, some of us just mean. And those of you listening in the audience, that ain't us. That's not how we roll. That's not Christianity. When we're persecuting you and making you believe that you're less than, you are a child of God, and He loves you just how you are. He loves you.
Amen.
And doesn't hate you. And some of y'all have had hatred spewed at you by people that claim to be Christians. That's not Christianity. And I want to go on record and say that is not being saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Love covers a multitude of faults. By loving kindness, I've drawn you. That's what draws the people is the love that we have and the love that we show.
Right.
And
amen.
20 after.
If we can. Okay. If we can't understand you, we stand under you. We support you.
Right.
Amen.
And who is without sin to cast the first stone?
Come on.
Well, mm-hmm. Come on.
All right.
So we have, Lori, I'm not going to leave you out. Did you want to say anything? What jumped out at you? If you don't want to get off mute, you don't have to. I just wanted to give you a chance to say something if you wanted to. Okay.
Yeah, 20 absent.
So
being shy.
So yeah, we're gonna go for another 5 minutes. So so the big idea of persecution is the idea that we're suffering for the cause of Christ. And they give an illustration about this African-American man who was the first I think he was a fire chief in Atlanta. And he did really well until he wrote this book. And as he wrote this book, he talked about his faith, and he made a statement about, in the book, biblically how he understood relationships, how a man should not, a woman, they should not have sex until after they're married, how other these issues according to the word. And he didn't share it with everybody, but he gave it to a few friends who he had, you know, who already knew he had a relationship with God, and a few civic friends. And the book just happened to get in the hands of somebody who was a different type of person. And that person, I think they said his name was Juan, and he made a complaint that he would be terminated. And so this man, nobody had any problems with this man about termination, about and problems with employees, had never had any problems with him. But his argument, this Mr. Juan's argument was, however, when you're a city employee and your thoughts, beliefs, and opinions are different from the city's, Lord have mercy, you have to check them at the door. Now, the issue is I didn't even hear the man saying that he was using them at work. I didn't hear that at all. But what I heard is because he put out a book, they understood what he thought about it, so they took his understanding and tried to say that he was doing that at work. And that is not what I understood. So, but in reality, when systems want to get rid of you, the enemy can be used by those systems, and they right. will do the dirty thing to get rid of right. you. So,
right.
but not,
right.
but understand sure this is not that God is not aware. God's still busy. God's still working, and we need to hold
oh, yeah.
on to that. And so he's saying our culture, American culture, is being so hostile towards Christianity that these are the type of activities that are occurring. And so Dr. Jeremiah was making a point. He talked about the Declaration of Independence. And he said that, you know, here it is, recognizing that God is a source of human rights and freedom, but we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. And he's saying that if they had that posture, then for him, things started to go wild or astray, he feels, in the 1960s. I feel way back when they wrote the Declaration, because the moment for me when they stopped treating people like humans, the moment when they started feeling like they were better than other folks and could enslave them and make money off of somebody else, the moment that they said to me that they weren't being a Christian.
Come on.
Amen.
Because you can't just all of a sudden pick and choose what part of Christianity you like and say that's what it means to be a Christian. You got to understand that God says you have to treat and love everybody according to his standards, not your own. And they even made people where they weren't even viewed as human the way they were treating. So my understanding is we've been off course for some time.
Yeah, and think about
Amen.
It too. Think about it too. Are they going to reprint money because money has In God We Trust?
Yeah.
No.
Well, they're actually they're not going to reprint it.
Right.
No,
but I'm
well,
just
they're talking about doing something. They're talking about doing a Bitcoin to doing money, what you call it, digital money. And
yeah,
so I would bet that the digital money will be different. Yeah,
yeah,
it will be different.
Yeah.
And I would bet that it won't be God on there anywhere.
No.
But we'll get to see. We'll get to see. We'll get to see, because right now MIT is working with the bank system to do that very thing. So it shouldn't be long before we find out what's going on. But we are at 8:25. I have a few more minutes, but what I would like for us to do tonight, I would like for us to...
I
would like for us...
There you go.
I would like for us to have prayer. And because this is such a serious understanding of persecution that people need to understand, persecution is not always unto death. It can be harassment.
Right.
It can be, but we can get mistreated for the cause of Christ. We can be bullied for the cause of Christ, and we could be killed for the cause of Christ. All of that is considered persecution. And the three things that five things he talked about during the stage of persecution is stereotyping. He talked about not only stereotyping, but he talked about marginalizing, threatening, intimidating, and litigating. So
yes.
I'm going to briefly mention what they are, and I like when we come back, we talk about them a little bit. But when we talk about stereotyping, you know, that's saying that Christians are always, I think James said it in the beginning, when the holier than thou people who look down on other people and dog them out when they're doing something wrong. Like he gave the example, the Shawshank Redemption, when the warden was actually praying and citing scriptures and turning around and abusing inmates. You know, you call yourself a Christian, but you have that kind of behavior. And the second thing is marginalization. It was saying that they are moving Christianity from the center of American life to a different place. And what I want us to look at with that, and I want you to think about it, is that in reality, the United States has dropped in its understanding of people who are interested in religion. It has dropped tremendously. Not only is it fewer women and men, it's a big drop in white evangelicals and white Catholics, and white people have dropped off tremendously, but a part of that is because it's fewer white people in the country. There are more people of color. And so as you see that increase in diversity, that's manifesting itself in the Protestant and the Catholic religion. So we'll come back and we'll look at that next week as we talk about threatening, intimidating, and litigating. It says we have 90 seconds. So if anybody's on the line would like to actually close us out, I want to say, God, we come before you, and we just want to give you honor, glory, and praise tonight. If there's anybody on the line tonight, oh, God, that is in, would like to have a relationship with you, we are asking, oh, God, that you would continue to guide us and direct us and have us to understand who you are. So if there's anybody on the line that has been through persecution and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we just ask that you do so right now, that you say, Lord, I believe in you. I accept you with my whole heart. I confess you with my mouth and believe that the Lord Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised so that I might live and I might live abundantly with him. And so if you believe in the Lord, you've accepted him as your Savior, then you can know that you can be saved. Just get in a Bible-believing church, be baptized, and continue to join us here at Your Place Love Connection. Brett?
Thank you, Dr. Susie. Since 2005, this Bible study has been teaching the authoritative Word of God. Dr. Susie is the host and founder. You have a standing invitation to join us here each Tuesday starting at 7 p.m. Just call 646-478-4932. We can start you on a fascinating journey.
with the Bible. And the good thing about it is you don't even have to leave your house. You don't even need to be dressed. You can eat your dinner while listening.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.